The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future, until you told us the future is now.
We are NXT!
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of the NXT cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Simi.
Hello.
What's going on, Miss Simi? How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad that we could be back here on the CSPN to talk to you about another episode of NXT from the Performance Center.
Guys are smiling.
We had a couple of things happen here on this episode, so we won't bore you with all of the, you know, introduction stuff that we usually do. We'll save that to the end because we started out fast this week. Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher versus Imperium for the NXT Tag Team Champions. The challengers have isolated Matt Riddle. They're beating him down. They're cutting off the ring. He's trying to make tags, but they keep snatching him back. Every time it looks like he gets some daylight, they make a quick tag and cut him off. So he hits a dropkick combo. The challengers, they continue to work quick tags and double teams. Riddle then hits a knee strike, then a head kick. Then he monkey flips Bartel right into his tag team partner, Timothy Thatcher. Timothy Thatcher was already kind of pissy because Matt Riddle tagged himself in when Thatcher was kind of in control. And when he got out of the ring, he had a little screw face.
Right, he was a sourpuss all throughout this shit.
But Bartel, when he got thrown into him, Thatcher was like, fuck this shit. He gets pissed, refuses to tag in, and just walks off, leaving Matt Riddle in a handicap situation in a tag team title match. So Imperium attacks, Matt Riddle fights back, but at the end, the European bomb from the Imperium finishes off Matt Riddle. And we have new NXT Tag Team Champions, Imperium.
Imperium is really good. I don't watch NXT UK. So I guess. But they're real good. Like, when they just, like, kept cutting him off from the ring and all that stuff. Thatcher, it's a wrestling match. Like, sometimes you're going to get hit by somebody else. But it's just gonna happen. Get over it. Gonna leave my man Matt Riddle in the lurch.
Imperium was really good when they were in NXT before they even went over to NXT UK, when they were just their normal names, Bartel and Eichner.
Oh, I didn't remember them in there. Maybe I wasn't like watching as extensively then.
Oh man, Bartel is like a high flyer. He can do all kinds of moonsaults and rope shit.
Flippy shit that I love.
They got him doing a lot of technical wrestling because he can do that too, and that's kind of what Imperium is about. But yeah, he can do flips too.
Ooh.
So after the match, Timothy Thatcher gets interviewed. He says he wants to be a tag team champion, but not with Matt Riddle because he has no time for flip flops or game shows. Matt Riddle arrives and it's like, hey man, what the fuck was that? And Thatcher kind of blows him off, and they have a brawl and a pull apart in the back.
I guess he wasn't a fan of the Newly Bros either. Listen, seven haters. God, it was fun. Shit. It's a pandemic. Have a little fun.
You still stand as the only person who thought that.
I don't care. I will stand in it. It was funny. Thatcher, you hater.
One of your not-so-faves, Tegan Nox, faced off against one of my faves, Indy Hartwell.
Yeah, Tegan, she's good.
Yeah, Tegan Knox catches Indy Hartwell with a Lady King chokeslam. Tegan follows it up with chops, uppercuts, and then the cannonball. The high cross from off of the top connects. Then she hits the shiniest wizard, and Tegan Knox gets the win.
I guess. Okay. Mara Coulter, the freaking Captain America of NXT, I was like, don't disrespect Steve Rogers in this way. How dare you? I wanted Miss Indy Hartwell to win. I liked her. She was pretty. I was like, who are you? I like you. So, what, did she sign or is she just like
yeah, here she for... signed. No, she signed.
Oh, okay. Cool. I like her.
We get a clip on the issues between Io Shirai, Rhea Ripley, and Charlotte Flair from last week. Mm-hmm. Earlier this week, Rhea said that she is sickened by Charlotte walking around with her title. Io couldn't get the job done, and she's going to be the one to bring that title back home, even if she has to beat that into Io.
This promo ain't make no damn sense. What do you mean she didn't get the job done? Charlotte is the one who DQ'd herself. Io didn't, like, she didn't do anything. She was fine. So, like, shut up, Rhea. Don't make me mad.
Everybody's all up in arms because she used the line, "We've only just begun." And she was like, yeah, I'm going to say something that, you know, an old man used to say all the time. Charlotte Flair, we've only just begun. That was a Ric Flair. She was a dig at Ric Flair because Ric Flair used to say that in his promos back in the 80s. He'd be like, Dusty Rhodes, we've only just begun. And then, you know, he'd like go into a big tirade or Magnum TA. We've only just begun. So everybody's all confused about that line. It's like, it's a shout at Ric Flair. Don't y'all know it's Ric Flair promo history?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, I have spent hours just watching back to back. They have like compilations that are like an hour and a half long, just Ric Flair promos.
Oh, nice.
Just one after the other. And I'm talking about, there's this one where Ronnie Garvin in like 1987 or 88 beats him for the world championship. Ric Flair is out here in this cashmere sweater and he starts out, he's like, you know, it's like, damn champ, this is the lowest we've ever seen you. And he's like, yeah, Tony, you know, he's like, right now, he's like, I have to really say I'm fighting myself. And then he gets wound up and he's like, Ronnie Garvin, you've got the only thing in the whole wide world that matters to me. And I'm here on TV and I've lost all touch with reality. Just like, oh man. So yeah, if you guys are bored during this quarantine and you just want to really be entertained, watch some old Ric Flair promos and be like, man, how can you even say that on TV? Like this one time when Magnum TA and him were lining those two guys up to wrestle. Mm-hmm. And Magnum TA was United States champion, Ric Flair was the world champion. So they had a face-off at the podium, right? And they got their belts up there. And Ric Flair is like, look here, son. He's like, you're an up-and-coming athlete. He is like, you know what I'm saying? One day, he's like, you're probably going to be nipping at my heels. But there's a reason that my belt is gold and yours is silver.
Got him. Said you can't compete with me, bitch. Yeah. Fuck your shit, Rick.
Yeah, so just a little example of the greatness that was Ric Flair back in his prime. Cutting those promos. We see in the back a kind of beating down Matt Riddle on an iPad with William Regal. And he's like thanking him. Thank you, Mr. Regal. And a reporter asks him, what are you thanking him for? And he's like, yeah, he just made sure I could get a match with Timothy Thatcher later on tonight. Yeah. And then that's when Timothy Thatcher walks in his room and proceeds to continue to beat down on Matt Riddle. Yeah, he threw a flat screen monitor at him.
Oh my God, yeah, this was crazy. I was like, what? This is Bad Girls Club? Shit.
That was hilarious.
That's so funny.
Jake Atlas versus Tony Nese Cruiserweight Tournament match. They work into counters. Jake Atlas hits a net breaker, but Tony Nese fires back as Atlas is up top. He follows with kicks, and then he heads up top, but Atlas fires back, and he dumps Tony Nese to the floor. Well, that leads to Jake Atlas hitting that cartwheel DDT off of the ropes, and Jake Atlas is your winner.
Yay! I like him.
Yeah, I like him a lot, too. And he's got a pretty good promo as well so far.
Yeah. I was happy with him.
Hopefully they can keep him on NXT and not have to put him down in 205.
I hope not.
Where nobody will see him.
Yeah, just bring 205. Just incorporate that into NXT. Like, I thought that's what they were going to do, but like...
They kind of do it, but they don't really. They just shoot it at Full Sail now. So actually, like, the people, when they actually were doing it, they actually did have people in there who would actually, you know, not leave.
Yeah.
And watch them.
Because it's just like, just keep them in there.
I saw.
Because, like, I like the 205 matches, but I don't watch 205 Live.
I saw one of the best 205 Live matches in person.
Really? What was it?
May 2018. I don't think it was 19. I think it was 18. Mm-hmm. Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander.
Oh.
They tore it down. And I swear, like, a third of the crowd saw it.
Wow, damn.
Even people who work at the arena who are like, I don't even like wrestling. He's like, but that main event on that last match of the night, before, you know, they do the little dark match, the little quick match. He was like, they were like, yo, that was awesome. That was cool. I was like, yeah, Cedric Alexander and Buddy, they tore it up that night.
Yeah.
Adam Cole, baby. He's talking with Kyle O'Reilly via webcam. Bobby Fish joins in. They're all excited. They call themselves the OG3. That's when Roderick Strong joins in, and they get even more excited as Cole brags about embarrassing Velveteen Dream last week. Then they turn their attention to Dexter Lumis. Kyle calls him Dexter Lunas, and they all talk about who should take care of Lumis. Everybody agrees that it should be Roddy. They say if Lumis can't have a good outing with Roddy, it's time to cut bait. So I guess this is officially, we know that Dexter Lumis is now a good guy?
I guess. It's like, I still don't understand his demon self, but we'll see what
happens. Second week in a row, we get a Karrion Kross and Scarlett vignette. Scarlett.
Second week in a row. I wasn't interested in him.
Scarlett is front and center.
Yep.
They say they're not here to shock a system or be a savior. They're the entertainment. Tommaso Ciampa was the first, and he's certainly not going to be the last.
Yes. I was here for this.
Scarlett Bordeaux. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Steam sealer.
Yeah, basically. It's like Carrie and who? I don't care about you, sir. One cares.
I know you.
He's probably good.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. But, yeah, he's about to get overshadowed.
Yep.
I know you really enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
Get a video package for Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Dakota says that she cared way too much about what the other people thought about her. The fans and the backstage competitors' camaraderie. And she had to get mentally tougher. She said that she had to stop her rehab so many times just so they could film Tegan Knox's rehab and she could just be in the clips. She says that when she returned, she was only returning to be in the shadows of Tegan. She says war games happened and that felt good to take out Tegan. She said that TakeOver Portland, that was her night, not Tegan's. Raquel helped make sure of that, and she's the only woman Dakota can trust. And they're going to, she says they're in the hurt business, and they're going to hurt a lot of people.
Ooh, I'm here for this. Yes.
Dakota Kai looked good with that long hair. Whew.
Oh, yeah, she did. And that black lad, I was like, word, girl. You look great.
Raquel I'm Gonzalez. Here for your little evil mess. Raquel Gonzalez's makeup was real cute, too.
Yeah, it was. I want to see her wrestle more, Raquel.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Swerve Scott says that if he loses tonight, he's out of the tournament. He says that his confidence is high and he feels untouchable right now, and he will beat Jack Gallagher and protect this house.
Oh, he's so charming. I like him.
DX discusses the 25th anniversary of In Your House. They talk about all the amazing moments that they've shared. Road Dogg is like, yeah, I had a match in your house, and Shawn Michaels is like, yeah, I had, you know, several big matches in your house, and they come around to Triple H, and he's like, I don't really remember any standout matches in your house, and then Road Dogg is like, yeah, remember that time you wrestled Henry Godwin? He was like, yeah, you put your face in the slot bucket and all that. He was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Triple H actually got hurt in that match.
Oh.
Go figure, right? But their big announcement is that on June 7th, NXT will deliver TakeOver In Your House.
Woo! That's exciting.
For the Attitude Era 96. Well, yeah, I think it was 96, 96, 97, 98. And a little bit into 99. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, or Survivor Series,
yeah,
it was a version of In Your House. So all of the pay-per-view names that you did, like Bad Blood, In Your House, featured the first. In Your House. It was In Your House, Bad Blood, and that featured the first Hell in the Cell match. It was In Your House, St. Valentine's Day Massacre. It was In Your House, Over the Top. You know, so like, yeah, so, and the set was like a house. That's old school WWE. Right?
Yeah. Ooh, that's exciting.
Yes, so they're going to bring that back. They can't bring this back if they don't build the set. They have to build the set.
Yeah. I'm sure they will. Because, like, they have all, like, these creative ideas, especially with, like, the Money in the Bank matches and, like, with the graveyard matches and stuff like that. I have faith in them.
I'm pretty sure they still have the whole set. They just have to, you know, dust some cobwebs off, yeah, and revamp it.
Yeah.
Make it black and yellow for NXT. Next up, Cameron Grimes versus Finn Balor. Grimes has things grounded. The running knee strike follows for a two count. Balor fires back. They trade, and Grimes cuts him off. Grimes then hits a lariat for a two. Finn Balor battles back with the standing double stomp. He lays the boots to Grimes, and then they fight to the floor. Balor follows with an apron penalty kick, and then that's when Damian Priest arrives and hits Balor with the nightstick. Back in, Cameron Grimes hits the cave in, and Cameron Grimes gets the win.
This was a really, it's like, this was my favorite match of the night. It was so good. I was just like, ooh. I was like, I wouldn't mind like another Cameron Grimes, Finn Balor like thing, because they broke really good together.
The funniest part of this match is, in the middle of the match, he's like, I'm Cameron Grimes, and I'm going to smack the piss out of Finn Balor. And he called off and smacked his ass. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, damn. I knew Finn was mad.
I was like, yeah, at least he stood up to his word, because last week he punked him out.
Right. He was just like, not this time, bitch.
Right. After Cameron Grimes leaves and celebrating his win, Damian Priest hits Finn with the Reckoning on the chair, and then he puts the chair over his throat, sits down with the back of the, you know, holding the back of the chair, and he's like, I want to make my name live forever. So what better way to do that than to attack a prince?
He's the one. I was just like, oh, shit. And then when he put, like, that chair on his throat, I was like, oh, fuck. It's about to be on.
How do you feel about this? Are you excited?
I like Damian Priest. I always thought he was good. I thought they were going to maybe go maybe him and Keith Lee a little bit more. But I don't mind this, because I really like him. I think he works well with other people. So I like it. I love his voice.
They're about to spin Keith Lee off into a different direction.
Ooh.
Jack Gallagher versus Isaiah Swerve Scott, our second Cruiserweight tournament match of the night. Tony Nese attacks Swerve Scott before the match. Then Jack hits a gentleman dropkick for a two count. Jack follows with kicks. He dominates until Swerve counters back and hits the house call for a two count. Isaiah follows with kicks, but Jack locks on the guillotine and he grounds Swerve Scott. Swerve fights, powers up, and counters out, but then Jack KOs him with a forearm, and Jack Gallagher defeats Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Ooh, this was a good match, too. Yeah, freaking Tony Nese is a hater. Like, sir, you already lost. Get out. You can't do nothing now. You can't win.
He don't want to be sitting on the couch by himself.
Well, you're gonna. Get out. And I would just like to say, Jack Gallagher, he heard my Joey Janela praise about the leopard tights, and he gave me he gave me some leopard print this week. So I would like to say thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you for catering to me specifically.
The next matchup of the evening, Caden Carter versus Aaliyah.
Carter has
Aaliyah well defended here as continue. Carter continues to hold on to that left foot.
And Carter has fine in the legs of submission maneuvers, looking for that earlier.
You get off me.
Hostility is rising quickly here with some trash talk.
And it's O'Connor roll by Carter, shoulders down. Only a one count, and what a drop kick by Caden Carter. Cooks the leg, but Aaliyah able to kick out quickly and retreat.
Aaliyah doing a great job of trying to catch her breath.
I'm poor, Aaliyah.
Wow.
The bougie banshee, Aaliyah. Last year, Aaliyah suffered a broken nose at the hands of Xia Li and has had her eyes on someone. Oh, wait a minute. Speaking of having your eyes on someone, it's Robert Stone. Oh, roll up here by Carter. Oh, and Leah with a nice counter kick.
Watching this?
Stone looks to be impressed at what he's seeing.
And Aaliyah saying, are you watching this?
Down,
Aaliyah. Aaliyah on the second turn. Aaliyah looking to really impress, going all the way to the top turnbuckle, but wasting precious time, allowing Caden Carter to go on the attack.
Showboating was not the correct choice in this situation.
Reversal on the Irish whip, wheelbarrow. Oh, Casadora there, the roll up by Carter, back kick, and the cover by Carter for a two.
And Carter staying on her opponent.
Aaliyah tied up into that deathlock submission attempt. And Aaliyah's tapping. Aaliyah's tapping. Carter cruises to the win.
Give me your winner by submission, Caden Carter.
And I don't know about you guys, but Aaliyah may have been trying to impress Robert Stone just a little too much, and it may have cost her this match.
Yeah, I don't know if Robert Stone was happy with what he saw in Aaliyah here tonight, but...
Let's not discount the performance of Caden Carter as the Spitfire Caden Carter picks up a huge victory.
One time for Caden Carter, her green eyes.
Right. Like she finally gets a win. Aaliyah, every time you tell somebody, watch this, that's a bad idea. Stop. This is why you can't win.
I was so shocked that Caden Carter won this match.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she's about to lose again this way. Aaliyah can like look good. And I was just like, oh, okay. This is a nice change of pace.
Exactly.
Finally.
Her finishing move looks sweet.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, you guys can go look at some old Memphis wrestling and you can see this hold. It's called the Gibson leg lock.
Mm-hmm.
And, Robert Gibson used to do this move, but he got it from his brother. And what it is like you kind of set up like you're going to do. Darby Allin kind of does a version of this too, mm-hmm. where they set it up. But the thing that made Robert Gibson's unique was when he got your legs all crossed up, what he would do is he would then do a bridge. So it was not only a submission, but a pin at the same time.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But go look that up. Look at the Gibson leg lock. I'm pretty sure you can find videos on it on YouTube.
I'm going to have to do my Googles. Look at that, because that looked really cool.
Yeah, it was really slick. It's time for another night of Dinner at the Garganos. Johnny puts over Candace for beating a ninja. It's like, you beat up a ninja last week. You're awesome. He's talking about Casey Catanzaro. He says, yeah, he stepped in the ring and beat that 7'8" Djokovic. So they start watching the match back over. And Johnny's like, I'm a stud. Can you, Candace, you married that dude right there. Can you believe it? And he starts running down Djokovic, calling him a goof and all this. And he says that if Djokovic was the man who took Keith Lee to his limits, then Keith Lee ain't nothing. So, you know, Johnny starts talking that heel shit, so things go black and white in a slow motion. Johnny says that mentioning their names will get you hurt. Candace is annoyed that Mia Yim got a match with Charlotte, while she only got to wrestle Casey Catanzaro. Johnny says, but she's a ninja.
Every time.
Candace is like, nah. Then Johnny was like, but she's a warrior. Candace is like, nah.
Right.
American. And Candace was like, okay, yeah, I'll give you that. She's American. And she, Candace said that Casey Catanzaro last week was an example. That's when Johnny focuses back in on Keith Lee again, saying that the glory stuff is just a fancy catchphrase and the people will bleed him dry before moving on to the next flavor of the month.
I like this. These like promos with these two is so good. I really like the way they do it. Just the talking and then going to the black and white and slowing everything down. Candace's hair is just not good.
You don't like it?
That's the only, no. It looks stringy and weird. And I don't like it. She should have just stayed blonde. It would have been just fine. This whole, I don't like it. The makeup is okay, but the hair,
bueno, huh?
No, go talk to Asuka by hair colors, because this isn't, this isn't doing it.
Next week, we have our final two tournament matches as Kushida is going to face off against Drake Maverick, and Okiwa Tozawa is going to face off against El Hilo del Fantasma.
Yay.
Also, Io Shirai versus Rhea Ripley.
Woo!
Main event of the evening time. Matt Riddle versus Timothy Thatcher. Thatcher hits a German, the final flash by Riddle, and Thatcher stomps on his feet, and then he follows with an uppercut. Thatcher follows with grounded knee strikes, but Riddle counters and powers him into a power bomb. They trade strikes again. Thatcher counters into an ankle lock and grounds Riddle. Riddle escapes. We get an enziguri by Thatcher, but Riddle counters into the bro to sleep. The floating bro eats knees. Thatcher locks on the armbar, but Riddle counters into a powerbomb as Thatcher gets the armbar again. They scramble. Thatcher grabs the leg. They battle for position. And then that's when Matt Riddle manages to cradle Timothy Thatcher and get the shocking upset. Well, not an upset win, but just a shocking pin.
Yeah. Yay!
I love this match. This is what wrestling should have evolved into. Instead of all the high flying and people taking chances with breaking their necks and hurting themselves, diving out of the ring and jumping off everything they could find, the highest point, this is what wrestling should have went into. The Zack Sabre Jr. grappling, catches, catch can, locks and holes and manipulating joints. And then every once in a while, you shoot a guy off into the rope and do like a backdrop.
Yeah.
And once he's on the mat, you go right back to working an arm or a leg or something. Mm-hmm. Oh, this was good.
Yeah. I really liked how he kept targeting that arm and like the reversal. This was, it was a really good match. I really like this.
Like,
I like Matt Riddle.
Like, Timothy Thatcher had grabbed so many holes and twisted so many joints that when the match was over, Matt Riddle didn't know whether to grab his arm, his leg, his back, his head.
He looked hurt. He was like, I don't know. Everything hurts. I can't do it. I was just like, oh, shit. This is a really good match. I really like this.
Because of just how quick and out of nowhere the pin came, Thatcher was pissed. He locks on the bar again to close the show. And he's not letting it go. And you can hear Matt Riddle be like, get him off! Get him off!
Right. I was just like, don't break him!
And this is how we close this week's NXT.
Yeah, so it wasn't a bad show. It was okay. It was better than last week. Because last week was just like weird. But there were some things. I was just like, okay. It was like a so-so show.
Maybe you and I, we aren't the best people to maybe critique the show because we watched this right after watching AEW, and AEW has consistently been like 7, 8, 9, 7, 8 or 9, 8 or 9, you know, and NXT is kind of like 5, 6, and they occasionally throw a 7 up, but it's mostly been like 5, 6s, a couple of 4s in there too.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is going on with y'all?
Right. I think they just need to get like sore a bit up. But like, if I can find like things to hold on to that I enjoy, like that's just all I need. Right. Like, I really liked Finn and Cameron Grimes, and then Damian Priest kind of sneaking in there. That was cool. The Dakota Kai package was cool. I like that. I really love the Jack Gallagher and Isaiah Scott stuff, and the Matt Riddle stuff was really good. It was just some of the women matches were a little clunky, like the Dakota Kai one. I was just like, okay, sure.
Tegan Knox.
Tegan Knox, my God. See, I can't even remember her name. God damn it. And then, like, I enjoyed Caden Carter, like, getting a win, but it was just like, I don't know if we really needed this match. But I liked her getting the win.
I don't know. I guess just because the lack of consistency from, like, Undisputed Era, Keith Lee, you know, Tommaso Ciampa, you know, some of the bigger, some of the bigger players haven't been around since, you know, WrestleMania or shortly afterwards. So it just seems like they're kind of low on star power. And I get it. I get it. They're only working with probably a third of the roster.
Right.
People who are, you know, local to Orlando or, you know, can make a car ride. But it's just like, you know, they're just not getting into that next level.
Right.
And when it comes to action and compellingness and just the pace of the show, they're falling behind AEW every week.
Right. I think that if they had tried to like craft new storylines and just kind of go with what you have, it would be a little bit better. But it seems like they're kind of like lost for direction of where to go. Because like there was all these storylines that kind of got dropped because of the whole Corona thing. So it's just like they haven't really done a good job of kind of weaving new storylines and just kind of picking up with it. So I think that's like, if they kind of find a direction, like a good like storyline, then we can get it. Cause like, I think the EO and like Charlotte and Rhea thing could be like spotlighted more. Maybe that'll be like kind of like their big thing to do.
Yeah, they've definitely got to do something. You know, it's just weird. Like, you know, Adam Cole's been the champion for over a year now. We thought that it was going to be Velveteen Dream's time last week, but circumstances probably changed the booking of that, where it wasn't his time. So now, you know, we've got Undisputed Era kind of over here with Dexter Lumis. Is it going to be him who's going to win the NXT championship? I doubt it.
I hope not.
I doubt
he just got here.
But, you know, so it's like, you know, who's going to be the next challenger for Adam Cole?
If there was anything, I thought it would be Finn.
Right. They haven't really started to address that situation. I guess they got to do that soon because they got a pay-per-view coming up.
Right.
that they're going to have to in about three or I think it's about 5 weeks.
Yeah. So they got to start like kind of like building stories and building up for these matches, because like right now it's like, okay, like I can find things that are enjoyable and be like, cool, I like this, and like not like completely hate on them.
Right.
But like I was just like, yeah, let's do better.
Yeah. They definitely gotta get back into their groove. Not saying, mm-hmm. I mean, it's believe me, it's still far better than Raw could ever dream to be.
Yes.
But even Raw was like pretty decent this week.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Raw was pretty decent this week.
Oh yeah, you just gotta come on, AEW. I believe in you. Not AEW, NXT. Oh my god. God damn it. NXT, I believe in you. I do.
Y'all gotta hold y'all end up for these Wednesday night wars now.
Yes.
Florida is going to be the first state to be able to have people in the stands eventually. So if the WWE, then if they can get actors or somebody just to give their shows a little bit more ambiance and a little bit more mm-hmm. emotion, then yeah. maybe that's got a lot to do with it, just because at least AEW has atmosphere to it. And
yeah.
And NXT right now just doesn't have any type of atmosphere to it.
Yeah, I think that's something that's really hurting them, is that there's no, like, people.
There's no feedback. Really,
because, like, some of these, like, big moments, it's like, oh, if you have, like, audience members in here, it would be, like, way more lit.
Yep. So they're in a fight against AEW for, you know, viewership and putting on the better shows, and they're falling a little behind. They had leading up to WrestleMania,
they had it
after WrestleMania. Yeah, they were clicking, mm-hmm. and they had actually kind of gotten above AEW in some of the total number of viewerships.
Mm-hmm.
But here lately, we've hit another rut. So hopefully, Road Dogg, Sean, and Hunter can get it back on track again.
I believe in them. They can do it.
So at this time, Miss Simi, we've come to the close of another exciting episode of the NXT cast. Please give out your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out and thank you to you, Don. Shout out to the WrestleCast family, and shout out to the listeners. Love you guys.
I'd just like to let everybody know that the WrestleCast is part of the CSPN. Please subscribe. NXT Cast is also there. All you have to do is to subscribe to the WrestleCast. That's the CSPN. You will get this lovely podcast. Please share, rate, and review with all your friends and family who are into wrestling, NXT especially. Please sign up for the Patreon page over there on patreon.com/CSPN Media. If you become a $3 member of the site, you can get the Dark Match each and every week, where me and Miss Simi review AEW Dynamite, plus pre and post show conversations from all of our wrestling podcasts are also there. So please check out the Patreon page. Also over on Patreon, just dropped as of yesterday, so it's still fresh. We have the first official episode of The Push. The pilot episode came out for free on all of our feeds, but the first official episode is up on Patreon. It's called Black Wednesday, as they take an in-depth look on what happened on April 15th, 2020, when the WWE made that mass firing and furlough of talent. So they go in-depth about what type of effect it's going to have on the wrestling business going forward once the pandemic is over and people can start moving around in these 90-day no competes are done for. Just who's going to get signed, who's going to get left out.
Are they still doing that with the contracts, with the no competing thing?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so.
That's BS, though. Like, come on.
That's the reason why you have to be smart, like Dean or The Revival, and just let your shit expire. And then once it's expiring, you don't sign a new one, you can go anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. Pop up and be on their TV right away.
Right.
Yeah, so please check out the Patreon exclusive content. You can get more pro wrestling talk over there, in-depth talk over there. It's definitely worth your $3 to $5 a month to listen to the Dark Match each and every week, only on patreon.com/CSPN Media. I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Simi, give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonay, and all the WrestleBays and members of the Glow. Give a shout out to Sam, Greg, and his family. I hope they're doing well. Give a shout out to everybody who joins us each and every week for the NXT cast live tweet. Usually it's just me and Simi talking back and forth to each other because y'all have long gone to bed when we're in there. But nonetheless, I do go back and scroll and read everybody's comments. So always a lot of fun to see what you guys think of the big angles and things that happen each and every week on NXT. So I appreciate y'all so much for holding it down while me and Miss Simi are over in AEW land. Checking that out at 8 o'clock. Big shout out to Quintessential R. I know he's listening to this.
Yeah.
Because he joined us on the 8 o'clock. He converted over to the AEW side.
Yes, I saw.
the main event from last week has made him a convert.
Yay, welcome.
If you do watch AEW Dynamite, you can use the hashtag DynamiteCast, and your commentary with color will be seen by me and Miss Simi and everybody else who is a big fan of the WrestleCast and our live tweets. So on that note, for my co-host, Miss Simi, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 6 of the NXT cast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Bye.
Cameron Grimes, although you haven't been in NXT too long, you got a huge victory tonight over
Finn Balor. You didn't say it enough. You didn't emphasize how huge that victory was. Not only do I have the fastest victory in NXT, now I have beat Finn Balor. One of the greatest NXT champions, and let's not forget the first ever Universal Champion. It doesn't matter, because when you get caved in, you ain't getting back up. The only person that's staying up is Cameron Grimes. Woo! Yeah!